Hey there, welcome back to this module on ASP.NET Core. My name is Jeff Fritz.
I'm John Galloway.
And we're gonna talk a little bit in this module about authentication and authorization, security, right?
Right. So there's a lot in there, let's get started. I'm creating a new ASP.NET Core application. And one of the things on the dialog here is it has this thing on the right where it says change authentication. So that said, no authentication. That means the application is completely anonymous.
Right, anybody can access it.
Right, exactly. So what we're gonna be showing in this section, we're gonna be looking at individual user accounts. There are some others available. You can do Windows authentication for an intranet application.
So that would use internal Windows challenge capabilities with IIS so that it can check with Active Directory and make sure that folks are logged in.
Exactly.
Okay.
All that magical IIS intranet stuff. There's also work and school accounts, and this will set up. This works with Active Directory, O365, and you can do. It has support for cloud, single, and multiple organizations. So, kind of the simplest one, and I think kind of the most standard that a lot of people use is individual user accounts. This is kind of a good place to get started. And you have some options here. Storing your accounts in-app actually uses a local database for storing your information. Or you can also connect this to store in the cloud, right?
So that's
one nice thing is you can develop for one and you can, migrate over later. So
very good.
So we're going to do this store user accounts in-app. So I'll click OK and get started. So the first thing we're going to be looking at in here once we start this up is that our authentication is set up using middleware. So like just about everything in ASP.NET Core now, it's all configured in middleware. So if I go to my startup, we'll see if we scroll down a bit, we have in here use identity. So this is actually the service is configured to use the identity service with default token providers, et cetera. We'll be configuring more of those in a second. And then down in here, it says app.useAuthentication. So that's kind of what turns it on.
And it's there inside of our configure method between static files and use MVC so that we're not authenticating access to static files.
Exactly.
But we are going to check for authentication requirements for MVC pages.
Exactly. That's a very key point, that this middleware kind of falls through. It goes top to bottom. So it'll get called in that order. So I'll want my static files, CSS, et cetera, for my login pages, right? So that's important. So just right out of the box, I'm going to run this application. And then we'll go through and we'll start configuring some things in here. So when I run this, first of all, some of the things I'm going to be doing with my application, I'm going to later be setting up OAuth for login, and that's going to require SSL. The way OAuth is set up, the callbacks to my application require SSL. Fortunately, Visual Studio and IIS kind of do this for me automatically.
Mm.
So what this is doing is it's saying I can create an IIS SSL certificate for you and install it locally on your machine. For development, this is a really easy way to go. So I'm going to say OK, and I'm going to memorize that SHA-1 thumbprint. Just kidding. I'm going to install this certificate. So this certificate is installed locally on my machine.
OK.
What that allows me to do is run my application locally. You'll see in the address bar that it actually does say, get this out of here, HTTPS. So that allows me to kind of, right from the beginning of my development, start testing with SSL locally.
Okay.
So the first thing I'm going to do is register a new user. And I'm doing this with individual user accounts. The very simplest way to do this is just create an email and password. So just create something. And there are some default password requirements. Need a capital letter, et cetera, and those are configurable. And they need to match. Let me try that again. There we go. So it is nice that it at least checks that for me.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it blew up. This is actually expected, the first time through that I run this. And the reason is it needs to store my identity data somewhere.
Right.
And it's using Entity Framework for that. So this is actually the first time through that I access this. It's saying I need to create those tables for you.
So it's going to create those tables in what kind of a database for me?
So this is in my local SQL Express.
Gotcha, the local DB.
Local DB, et cetera. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So now I hit apply migrations, and this is creating that database for me.
So this error screen is Entity Framework saying we don't have all the database definitions created inside that database. Hey, press this button to apply and those updates.
So this is that migration runs, it creates those, it actually is already finished and it says try refreshing the page. So I'm gonna refresh the page. Fortunately for me, the form, when I refresh the page, it refreshes, so I don't need to type that password again. So great, there I've gone through and logged in.
And it says, hello, test at test.com.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay.
So let's configure that a bit. So I'm going to go in, and I'm going to click on my account. And we'll see in here, I could change my email or phone number. I can do things like sending a verification email. I could, update my password.
Sure.
What I want to show here, though, is configuring two-factor authentication. And two-factor authentication is really important. This is a great feature to enable for your applications. The reason is, if someone gets my password, they can take over my account very easily. Mm-hmm. However, if I set up two-factor authentication on my phone using a two-factor authentication application, then someone would need both my password and my phone.
Sure.
Right? So it's just adding a second factor of authentication for me. So if I click on here and I say add authenticator app, this is going to take me to a page and it's going to tell me, hey, you can go in, you could type in this code, and this code is actually a seed for a time-based TOTP password thing, where it regenerates a password every, I believe, 30 seconds.
Okay.
Now, we'll look at that in a second, but your users, this isn't the best experience to make them type this key into their phone.
No.
Most two-factor auth is set up on phone, and I don't want them to have to do that.
Sure.
So a nice way to kind of get this information over onto my phone is using a QR code.
Okay.
So there's actually some pretty good documentation on here, and we're just going to follow through what they're telling us to do. And it's actually surprisingly easy.
Oh, good.
So what we're doing for this is we're actually using a JavaScript library that's going to generate a QR code for me.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So you can add this to your application, any number of different ways. I'm going to do this using Bower, just because Bower's currently set up. But you could use any kind of bundling. You could use, you could just download the file into your directory if you wanted to. So this is QR.js. And I'm just going to pick star. There's just one version of it. And we'll save that. And so then that's going to dump this file into, take a look here. That's now this QR code JS. So you just need to put it somewhere in your www root and know where you put it.
So you made an update to Bower JSON. Mm-hmm. You included the QR code JS line, and in the background, Visual Studio kicked off a Bower install, and it wrote the contents of that package into that QR code-JS folder inside of the lib subfolder of dubdubroot.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's important to note, Bower was kind of a preferred way of installing packages for a while. It's going away. Bower is still maintained, but it's not kind of the recommended way, really, to get libraries going forward. So you'll see this probably change in the future. But the important point here really is get this library and put it in your www root.
Okay.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to look in our pages, account, manage, enable authenticator view. So I go to pages, account, manage, enable authenticator. So, and again, that was spelled out for me right here in the docs. Next, I'm going to scroll down to the bottom of the script section, and I'm going to paste this in. And the important thing here is to make sure that my path to the script is correct. So, and I want to put this below my validation scripts partial. Okay. So all I'm doing here is putting in the script that is going to enable generating client-side QR code. So now I'm actually going to go here, and I'll take advantage of Visual Studio's autocomplete, and autocomplete set that up, you know, that completes that for me, and I know it's going to work, right?
Right.
So now that that's there, I'll run this again, and we'll see when we go to that page, we'll actually, when we go to enable two-factor auth, so if I say configure authenticator app, now this is my QR code.
Fancy.
Yeah, so that QR code just in like it makes an easy way for me to get this data onto my phone.
Okay.
So the next step that I would do is actually on my phone, I would take a snapshot. I would go into my authenticator app and I would scan this QR code and it'll say great, added, and it'll do all the magic registration.
It'll start generating codes for me.
Yeah. Now, because we want to kind of go through and show how this works, I'm actually going to use a test online authenticator app that can do this for me.
Okay.
So if I go in here and I copy this code, this is something you might want to do just in development in order to kind of make sure that your two-factor auth is working.
And then you don't end up polluting your personal authenticator on your phone with all these test codes.
Exactly, exactly. So I can call this, you know, whatever I want, MVA 2FA, and then I paste in this secret key. This secret key is kind of the seed that's going to create these two-factor auth numbers that I'm going to actually type in.
So there's my six-digit number I would use to authenticate.
Exactly. So now what I need to do is I need to go into, now you watch, see that just rolled over every 30 seconds.
Yep.
So now I need to go into this and I need to give it my auth code. Once I do this, it verifies it and it says, great, two-factor auth is set up.
Cool. And what are these?
Well, what happens if I lose my phone?
Oh.
Right? Or you get a new phone or whatever.
Right, you drop it in a stream or something. My gosh. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So what they do for this is they give me these recovery keys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these recovery keys are something I can use, and I recommend putting these in a secure place.
Now, those are two columns of five keys, right?
A total of 10 keys.
Okay.
Yep. So these are keys that you want to keep these, but you want to keep them somewhere secure,
sure.
Somewhere secret and secure, right? So now, let's log out and log in, and this time we'll see using two-factor auth. So I'm going to hit log in. I'm going to type in test, and we'll see if I can type my password.
Yeah, get past that first factor authentication before we get to the second. Oh, no.
There it is.
All right.
It requires an uppercase, a number, and a
special character.
Special character, yep. Mm. So now it says, what's your authenticator code? Now, I would go onto my phone, and I would look up my app that I just registered, and it'll give me a number.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, I'm going to my pretend phone. And I look here and I see this is my two-factor auth number, my authenticator code. So I'll hit that. Now, what I would normally want to do is say, remember on this machine. Mm-hmm. Or I'd likely want to do that because I don't want to necessarily have to type that in every single time.
And you're in.
I'm in. Now, let's look one more time and we'll see what happens. Let's see if I can maybe type my password this time. No, I should have saved my password, huh? Okay, so now, oh no, my phone exploded into 1,000 pieces. What am I gonna do? So now I'm gonna actually go in here and say log in using a recovery code. So I can grab one of these, and what I recommend doing is actually delete it. So I did Control X.
these are one-time use.
They're one-time use. Once I use that thing, then it's gone. So then I'll go in here and go log in. And now my two-factor auth worked.
Okay.
And what you can do if you want to at that point is you can actually go reset recovery codes.
Oh, and get a new collection of 10 codes.
So now it regenerated all those old codes that I generated. Those are all worthless now, so I'm just going to paste this over, right? And you can put this in, you know, say, OneDrive, OneNote, somewhere secure, though, because someone gets these, they can bypass your two-factor auth.
Absolutely.
So let's kind of review what we did here. We went in and we first saw the different options that are available. We looked in our startup and we saw kind of how things are configured and that use authentication kind of is already wired up for me, and this stuff about token providers and stuff, that's already there. Then we went in, created a basic account, and then we went in and did our authentication. Now, one other kind of minor thing, but you'll want to actually, there's the thing in there that says, hey, here's how you can create, let me see. The first time when you go in and you set up two-factor auth, there's a little note there that says, here's how to enable it.
I think it was under Configure Authenticator app?
Configure Authenticator app, that's it. Yeah, so here, you'll delete this line.
Sure.
So
we don't want to ship that instruction.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's basically it. So this is pretty sophisticated. This will allow you to keep your customers' application secure. Pretty great.
Cool. All right. Hope you come back and join us in a little bit. We're going to take a look at some more authentication options in the next video.